I want to show you that I'm wearing a Mickey Mouse tie. You can't see it unless you get up close, but there are Mickey mice. And there's a reason for that. This week, Debbie, well, here, I had those of you who are visiting introduce yourselves. Let me introduce my family to you, and there's a reason for that. Let me ask Hannah, on the front row, Nicholas, you two, stand up and face the congregation. Starting on my right is my daughter, Hannah, who is an usher, my wife, Debbie, my daughter, Megan, and her boyfriend, Nicholas. Now, I just want to let you know, so you know what's going on during the service, you guys can be seated. They all have a job today. When I came in today, I noticed the clock was off. And last night at their Sabbath service, the clock was off, and I went way over time. So I gave them jobs. Nicholas is giving me a thumbs up every 15 minutes, so I know what time it is. So when he's doing this, it's not that he's saying, good job with a sermon, good point, thumbs up. Debbie's job, because last week my stoles were uneven, and some of you said, shouldn't your wife point out to you that your stoles are So Debbie's job is she's not milking a cow. She's telling me if they're uneven. Megan's job is if we get with the timing thing, if the sermon's going too long, Megan's job is a simple cutthroat, time to cut the sermon. And Hannah's job is the same one she has every week. It's one to remind me to be humble, and so sometime during the course of the sermon, she'll stick her tongue at me. So bear with me for this anniversary edition sermon. Let us pray. Lord, we invite your Holy Spirit to be with us. We invite your Spirit to touch our hearts and our minds and help us to be sensitive to your presence. We thank you for your word and for the legacy of those who have believed and passed on the legacy of faith. For we know that we are, through grace, saved by faith. Be with us today, in Jesus' name. Amen. When Debbie and I were married, one of the girls in her bridal party wanted so badly to not miss the wedding and be there, even though she had the flu. So she wanted to stand with Debbie, and so Eleanor stood with Debbie and unfortunately gave Debbie the flu. Our honeymoon was a trip to Disney World in Florida, which after about a day and a half there, Debbie came down with the flu. So she was sick in bed, and fortunately for me, it was the first day of March Madness, the basketball tournament, which I mentioned today as those selections will take place today. I know people all over the country will be watching, especially here in Arizona, but Debbie was sick in bed with a flu, and I had the television, and I watched games from early morning to late at night, and I didn't miss a one. But here's what I want to tell you. At one point, Debbie got up out of bed. She was kind of lightheaded, and she was making her way to the bathroom and a little wobbly, and it was right when UCLA was playing Michigan, and I grew up in Southern California as a UCLA fan. And it was an overtime game. It went down to the buzzer. UCLA was going to shoot the shot that would either win or lose the game when Debbie hit the wall, stumbling to the bathroom, knocked her head, and fell over to the ground. So I had a choice. Either watch the last shot or try to catch Debbie. Girls, what I want you to learn today is sometimes in life we make wrong decisions. And we learn from our past. UCLA missed the shot. They lost the game, and I have this story to tell for every year since then. But here's what I want you to know. Girls, we learn from our relationships. As people of faith, you all know, as people of faith, we receive Christ in our hearts, and we become like new Christians that we refer to as baby Christians. And we learn, we read scripture, we do Bible study, we come to worship, we grow in our faith, and we mature in our faith. And we get to that point when we're more mature and we assist others in the faith. I think relationships can be that way too. From the point of getting married, a couple will also grow in their interaction. For both people come bringing a relationship with Christ, but together in facing life, with the ups and downs of life, the relationship grows as well. Our relationship grows in Christ. I think today our scripture lesson is reminding us of how the relationships are taught. We encourage one another. We learn through the family stories, and those stories are rich, but they teach us something. For us as people of faith, I want to do this. I want you to think again about the passage from the 8th verse of 2 Ephesians. That reminds us that it is through grace that we are saved through Christ. The passage goes on, talks about how we struggle in disobedience, and it brings us back to an understanding of grace. What is grace? Maybe we can understand it as a gift. Grace is a gift from God. We have been on a spiritual journey these 40 days of the season of Lent, moving throughout reflection of the life of Christ, moving closer to the celebration of Easter, where we fully see the coming to fruition of the gift of God, of grace, mercy, forgiveness. One Bible translation in talking about sin uses the same word form as from archery, when you shoot the bow and arrow and you aim at the target. When you miss the bullseye, when you miss the target, is akin to what sin is. And we all miss the target, don't we? Whether as husbands or wives or employers or employees or cousins and neighbors, there have always been opportunities where we have examples where we have missed the mark. And our faith story is one about getting us to not focus on missing the mark, but understanding we have a God that helps us hit the mark. Let me share just a little bit about John Wesley, who is the founder of the Methodist movement. And in this, I will touch base on other denominations, but beginning with John Wesley. John Wesley was one of 15 children. His dad was a pastor, Samuel Wesley. His mother was a devout Christian woman, Susanna Wesley, the kind of person that, though she had 15 kids, would spend a day with each one of them and focus just on their lives. Because normally when you have 15 kids, the older kids raise the younger kids, and you know how that works. But Wesley grew up in a home that was a Christian home. Dad, pastor. Mom, a teacher in the home. Wesley became a person of faith, became a priest in the Anglican Church. The Anglican Church is the equivalent to the Episcopalian Church in the United States. He was a priest. He was a church person. He had been raised in the church. And he wanted to go on a missionary venture. He wanted to do something. And so he signed up to travel from England to Georgia, to Savannah, Georgia, in the United States, where he took on the assignment of helping to convert the Indians, the Native Americans. So Wesley shows up in America, goes out to try to convert the Indians, and it was a disaster. He didn't know the first thing about them, their culture, and it was a total disaster. On his way back to England and reflecting on that, he thought this. He said, who am I to convert them when I myself have not been converted? And we say, wow, what does that mean? He's a priest in the Anglican church. He grew up in a Christian household, and he felt that he did not really know God in that way that he wanted to convey to others. He met a man who was a German Moravian by the name of Peter Bowler, who shared with him about how one must seek to know the experiences of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost in some translations, to know that part of God that Peter Bowler encouraged him. So Wesley, in his confusion, was thinking more of that. And this is what happened. I want to read this to you in Wesley's own words, written in 1738. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street, London, where someone was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart of a person through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone, for salvation, and an assurance was given to me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. Wesley had his moment where it became real for him. Besides knowing all about the church and scripture and faith, it became for him that real experience that he heard about from Peter Bowler. Now, in thinking about Wesley, because at that point, his ministry just really took off. His ministry and the beginning of a movement, which would lead to social change in England. Some have said that the movement in England saved England from the Cultural Revolution that France experienced. His whole world was changed. So we today can look back at Wesley and think about how he wanted to grow in faith. He wanted to mature in faith, and he had an experience of the Holy Spirit. But let's take it back a couple hundred years before that. You know the name of Martin Luther. Any of you ever visit or attend, or have you ever been, anyone here ever been Lutheran or attend a Lutheran church? Okay, you know Luther. You know Wesley, and now you know about the Moravians. Peter Bowler was a Moravian, but Luther. Here again, same kind of story. Luther was a priest. Luther was a German unsatisfied with some of the dictates that came from headquarters in Rome. And as you know, Luther wrote the 95 Theses, put those on the door of the church, and with that act, the Reformation was born. But let me share a little bit more about Luther. It was after he was already a priest, after he was already had written the 95 Theses, some 200 years before Wesley, Luther had his own internal struggle. Though he was a priest and he said, I am as devout as you get. In terms of study and prayer and devotion, I am as devout as you get. And yet I feel inadequate. As I read scripture and I read about the righteousness of God, as he prayed about it and thought about it, the words from Scripture spoke to him, and he came to an understanding. Wait a minute. It's a gift. It's a gift. Through faith, grace, makes me okay with the righteousness of God. Simply put, that which he always made him feel inferior, he came to the same realization as Wesley, that trusting in God, believing, having faith, then the gift of God became real for him. I would hope for all of us on our spiritual pilgrimage during Lent that we would seek the faith as those early disciples. When Jesus taught his disciples, it was a simple faith to be lived out. And as the church grew and as people developed in their faith, they applied it to their lives. And keep in mind that for the first 300 years after the time of Christ, living in a Roman world, and in the Roman world there was worship of the Roman emperor or Caesar. And if you didn't abide by that, you might find yourself in the Colosseum with the lions or a human torch on the wall. There were many horrible things that happened to people of faith, but the church survived. And then there was a change. And last night at the Sabbath service, we went into a great deal looking at the life of Constantine, the first Roman to be emperor, first emperor to declare himself Christian. Then the church became very popular, and everybody of power and means wanted to be buddies with the emperor, and so the church became the official church of the state. And when it became official church of the state, then some of the basic followers of Christianity were left out as the church then held in its grasp the word. Fast forward from that point with the rise of the Ottoman Empire and the fall of the... I'm covering a lot of church history. There's a reason for this. In the Pastor's Academy and in sermons in the spring, we're going to have more of an emphasis on church history to understand where we come from and where we are. But simply put, the Word of God then went back into the hands of the reformers and translators who made it available for everybody. So know this. The Word that you had heard read this morning, found in the pew Bibles, most of you have Bibles at home. Some on a nightstand, some on a bedstand. The Word of God is available to us. Through all those years of the Middle Ages, the officials of the church kept it closely guarded, and it was only released as they saw fit, and there were elements of control. So let us not ever take for granted the Bibles that we have in our possession, in our home. In the season of Lent, let us also seek to spend time in God's Word and in prayer. Seek to grow in our faith. And seek those moments where the Spirit of God feels so real to us that we understand what Peter Bowler was saying, that we can have an experience of the work of the Holy Spirit. In our church, we do so much to reach out into our community through the various social agencies. And for those of you visiting, a week ago Saturday, we had an event called Powwow, where our church parking lot became a food distribution center, where food was given to neighbors and to those who needed and to support a program. And so many of our church people picked up food and gave it away to all their neighbors. And it was a fun day of service. But again, why do we do that? Because the Lord teaches us that there is more. Through grace, through the gift, we have faith that we have been saved in Jesus Christ. This changes our hearts. This changes our mind. This takes our story of Lent from a story of giving things up to a story on Easter of receiving all that God has for us. The gift is there. Let us walk towards the celebration. For we have been saved by grace through faith in Christ. Amen.